Hello, hello, hello! This is Debonair. I am the host of the Debonair Gaming channel on YouTube and this podcast, which is new to yours but not to the game. I'm currently coming to you from my HQ, and I hope that you are continuing to enjoy your 2018. Welcome to the podcast, and today we're going to be continuing the series Games That Got It Right. When we last left off, we were discussing Tenkaichi 3 for the Wii, Dragon Ball Z, which is dear to me, and I'm hoping to make you see and make sure that you play that game as well when you get the chance. But also, the reason why we have created this series is because we want to acknowledge games that were so close to being perfect, it is ridiculous. And we also want to establish ways that we possibly can make it right using augmented technology and or VR technology to ultimately bring it to our real world. But you know, first we got to get all nostalgia with it. So if you are liking the content that I have been providing to you, make sure that you share the podcast. Make sure that you subscribe to all of our social media platforms so you can get the newest, greatest, best content available that we have to offer you guys in the gaming niche, in the gaming industry, and beyond. We want to get into product creation as well, but we can't do it without your help. We need your support. Your support allows us to know that there is an audience out there for us to be able to give you what you need, you know? Bring the games that you have wanted to be a reality, bring them actually to reality, and I believe it's really only possible through augmented reality. So, as we continue our journey on the Games That Got It Right series, at any point in time, you can subscribe, follow, and share. So, definitely take the time to do that. And a lot of this is being brought to you by Anchor and TubeBuddy and a great many multitude of other affiliates that we have. So, if any links are possible for you to use that can allow you to create your own content or will help create your own content, the better. We're trying to get into networking with content creators in our established field as well, in our niche as well. So if you're down with the get down, if you're cool with that, then comment in the comment section. Hit me up on the website at www.debonairgaming.com, and let's get this party started. Now, when we last left off, I was speaking about the Dragon Ball Z Tenkaichi game for the PS2 and how I enjoyed my experience with one of my best friends when playing the game. However, the Wii definitely had attracted me. It definitely has put a giant footprint, a giant mind print, if you will, into my head when it comes to this gaming series and this gaming genre. And the reason why is because of this awesome story. Now, I was playing on the Wii a couple of Christmases ago, same game, and of course, I told you about all the awesome gameplay elements, the budding presses, the learning of the characters, and things of that nature. And one of the characters that I did enjoy using was Super 17 after unlocking him. Super 17, if you don't know, is one of the most awesome characters with abilities like Hellsphere, Electric Hellsphere. And I think it's like Hell's Rain or Hell's Fury or something of that nature, where he shoots like 100 bullets. It's like a 100 bullet hit takes a lot of health, depending on, you know, what equipments you have. Now, originally I was going up against Bojack, and I put him on the highest difficulty just for the fun of it. And Bojack on the highest difficulty, especially on the Wii, was difficult to manage defeating. I barely defeated him. Now, the way that I defeated him is ultimately what made the Wii stand out above every game after that. Or which made the Wii console, specifically its version of Tenkaichi, stand out above any other console in the world. And I don't think that this will ever happen again unless Tenkaichi comes to the Switch. And we still have to hope that they don't just port over Xenoverse, which is which was greatly disappointing. So let's move along. Now, as I stated, the reason why the Wii became prominent to me is because of this battle. On the highest difficulty possible, I wanted a challenge, and that's what I was looking for. So it was Android Super 17 against Bojack. Now, Bojack is like the Hulk, but with red hair, or orange hair specifically, and he was extremely buff. I had him power up to the max already. And I wanted the challenge. Super 17 definitely does make battles a little bit more simplistic due to the fact that he has the a nice length of combos, a nice amount of power, and of course, as the best androids do, he has the absorption technique. So I definitely was using that a lot. Now, I'm not going to give you a lengthy detail as I did in the previous podcast. However, if you like that kind of description, make sure that you share the last podcast, and that would possibly reinforce or urge me to begin doing long, lengthy storytelling of that fashion. But what I am going to say is, the things that I was able to accomplish against Bojack in this battle was were amazing, quite honestly. Okay, so for starters, the buttons using the Wii remote is kind of makes playing the game more of a live-in experience, more of an internal experience, more of a immersive experience. And the reason why that is because as you play, as you do certain moves, you can hold the Wii remote, you can hold the Wii nunchucks by your side, ultimately just feeling as though it's just your brain controlling the character. Yeah, your hands are doing it, but once you get the hang of it, it just feels like your brain is doing it now, especially with your hands completely 100% out of your field of view, with the exception of when you do a move like a Kamehameha or a spirit bomb, or when you want to increase the power of your attack. With the Wii, if you want to increase the power of your punches, you have to swing at the same time that your character does one of his most powerful swings. So that adds to the element of immersion. And the same thing, when I want to do Electric Hell Sphere, I have to place both hands together in front of me and he'll do Electric Hell Sphere. So, and so against Bojack, I was able to get a lot more attacks off than I normally would had I been playing on PS2. One of the most prominent Super 17s or Android 17 in general's attack is actually not necessarily an attack, although you can use it, and that is his barrier. Now, in this game, it was much more easily available because of how the buttons are situated on the controller. Plus, it just became more, as you played longer, it became more intuitive to activate this. So a couple times when Bojack was just too close, was just kicking my butt too bad, or was getting ready to do a powerful attack, I would definitely activate the Android barrier. Now, last but most certainly not least, at the last second of the game, both of us were down to the wire, as it normally gets when I fight an opponent on my level, okay? And when I was battling him, he came up and he was getting ready to do one of his most powerful attacks, which I believe is a beam or a ball type of attack. But either way, it was going to be guaranteed to kill me. And the reason why it was going to be guaranteed to kill me is he wasn't even a yard away. He was like directly in front of me. Now, because the Wii controller and its method in this game is so intuitive and so streamlined and so responsive, I was able to activate Super 17's absorption ability by waving the nunchuck, the Wii remote, left and right very rapidly, very quickly. Automatically, as Bojack executed his ultimate attack, Super 17 absorbed all of his final attack at point blank range. Okay, we were almost able to kiss, and I was able to then activate Electric Hell Sphere, my super attack, my ultimate attack, and annihilate Bojack. I do not believe that this would have been possible had I not been playing on the Wii. So I was ecstatic about how responsive, how immersive this version of the game ultimately was. And I don't think that there will ever be a game like it unless we here at the Debonair Gaming team make it, or unless we as a Debonair Gaming community can get the the Nintendo Switch to take up Tenkaichi once again, or port Kaichi or Tenkaichi or something, because we're hoping that we can get Tenkaichi to beat out Xenoverse, although it doesn't look like that's going to be happening due to the fact that, you know, Xenoverse was so easy to play for anyone, and Tenkaichi was only accessible to the true fans of the series. And mostly those are the kind of people who care about the series. People who want to experience a battle like never before. So let's just get into the leveling system. Alright, so now we're getting into the leveling system. Now, leveling up was relatively easy / difficult, but it scratched your grinding urge. You would take a character and battle against other characters and use that money later on as you gained money in order to level up specific characters. There was also a system where you can find equipment known as capsules and use that to enhance the experience, use that to enhance the skills of individual characters. You can equip them with things to increase decrease their Kai consumption while increasing attack or defense, or making them slightly faster, or have a certain amount of abilities at the beginning of the battle, or unlock hitting power, or it was a lot, and it was awesome. I don't understand why no other game copied after that. That battle system, the leveling up system, the graphics, it was all perfect. It was all perfect. So perfect. So now we're going to get to exploration, and we're going to be skipping over multiplayer and story because I've already taken care of those, but those are just notes that I had posted down. So we're going to get into the exploration system, which was relatively simple as well. There was a somewhat open world exploration system, but the world was very small. It was a giant ball that you would traverse over. And you can, since they had the ability to fly, you would get over this ball very fast. Now, the reason why this was important, because it allowed you to find Dragon Balls. And finding Dragon Balls will allow you to grant wishes like money so you can go level up, or money so you can buy specific equipment and items in game, or doing certain story modes in order to unlock specific characters as well. And This made it fun and awesome. You would have a radar that would help you find the Dragon Balls, and each time you found Dragon Balls, you could unlock all the abilities of one character. You could increase the attack of a character. You could find exclusive items, and that you couldn't purchase in game, or you couldn't win in game. You know, they were exclusive to finding the Dragon Balls, and the export duration was fun. It was enjoyable. This game was clearly a game made of passion, made of love, made of entertaining, made as understanding of the Dragon Ball Z universe. And quite frankly, ever since then, there has not been a game that has been that close to feeling as if you're in the Dragon Ball universe. And I don't think there will ever be, unless the Debonair Gaming team takes up the mantle of grabbing Dragon Ball Z as one of its projects, which we may. But with the new showing of Dragon Ball Legends, I don't think it would be a safe time to do that anytime soon. But who knows? Now we're at one of the most important parts of the series, and that is, how could it had been made better? How could the game have been made better, and can we make it better? So first we're going to answer, how can the game have been made better? The game could have included certain characters that we have seen in the Dragon Ball and the Dragon Ball Z universe that have not been playable at all. One of the characters that I think would have been awesome to add is, it was a character in either the Tree of Might episode or the Garlic Jr. Series, or the Tree of Might series or the Garlic Jr. series, where this character had a whip, an electric whip that he could use to battle. Now, don't get me wrong, Ivy is not necessarily belonging in a Dragon Ball Z game, but I think it would have been very cool to see this electric whip, and how the people who created the game could have decided to make this character fight, especially against a bunch of other characters who mainly use either swords, staffs, or just fists. So that would have been awesome. They tried in, what was it, Dragon Ball Z Ultimate Tenkaichi, if I'm not mistaken, they tried to make you be able to, fight like augmented reality somewhat when it came to the Xbox and the Kinect, by allowing you to be able to do your punches or do a series of punches in order to get your character to punch faster. But in that game, ultimately it failed because it ended up being mostly a rock, paper, scissors type of game. And there was a lot of cutscenes, a lot of waiting while playing the game. And it just wasn't as intuitive as the Wii version was. Now, the game also was missing a key factor that I believe is important to any gaming enthusiast who really wants to be fully immersed in the game. I mean, you're not immersed in the game unless either you relate very well to the story or you relate very well to the character. The more, the better. And I believe that the main reason why Xenoverse even made it as far and as big as it did is because of this one key aspect, and that is custom character creation. If Dragon Ball Z Tenkaichi 3 had the ability to have customization, or have character customization, character creation, then it would have been the one to have taken off. Or if they created a Tenkaichi 4 with that aspect, but all the same exact mechanics as Tenkaichi 3, just that one aspect alone would have made it worth the $60 to begin playing. Because with character customization such as clothing and look, you also normally get abilities. So this would have been awesome. You guys know that I definitely would have been a, I don't know, I would have wanted to be an android. I also think that the Dragon Ball series overall should get a feature allowing you to create custom races. So you could have like a Super Saiyan android, or you could have like a Majin Buu Saiyan character or something like that. Which would have been awesome to see races fuse like that. And Dragon Ball Fusions did not even do that. You were either one race or the other race, and the fusion, the most prominent character would take over, or specific kinds of fusions would give you specific kinds of characters. So I think that that's definitely how it could have been made better. I don't know if you can easily transfer you could transfer DBZ into an augmented reality world due to the fast-paced nature of the attacks, and vice versa. I don't know how well it can do in VR, although I have seen some demos done with the HTC Vive. But what I will say is we currently don't have the technology or don't have the capabilities to take it ultimately where I want it to go, which is I want to make sure that augmented reality and virtual reality is streamlined to your Android phone, and that you don't have to purchase a bunch of gadgets in order to get it working up and running. Or at least if you do have to purchase any gadgets, they're not expensive. We're talking $5, $10, $20, not, you know, $800 like the HTC Vive or the Oculus Rift. And so that is going to do it for today's podcast. I would like to thank all of you for stopping by. We're working on a video to discuss the new Dragon Ball Legends game that just released a closed beta, but sadly that's the end of the beta, so we're going to be giving my review on that topic later on. And it says it's not going to be coming back for a long time, so we're going to figure out what we're going to have to do in order to speed up that process, because I must tell you that that game was awesome. In our next episode on the series Games That Got It Right, we're going to be discussing one of my all-time favorite games for the GBA, known as Mega Man Battle Network, which was an awesome series based on the Mega Man NT Warrior show and anime. And if you like the content that you have been hearing here, then what are you waiting for? Make sure that you share just before you hit the notification button, the subscription button, the follow, the upvote, the like, the clap, the whatever platform you're on. Do what it is that people on that platform do when they enjoy content. I would like to thank all of you for listening, and I appreciate it. Understand that we are trying to advance augmented reality, virtual reality, 360 reality, and much, much more. Bring it mainstream to you, the best customer, the best consumer of all time. Even if you are getting things for free, such as TubeBuddy, Anchor, Stitcher, and much, much more, it is A-okay, because just you acknowledging our existence alone is definitely important. I am Debonair, your host of the Debonair Gaming Channel on YouTube and this podcast, which may be new to your ears, but we most certainly are not new to the game. As I stated, our live streaming channel now allows us to continue live streaming, but also our official Debonair Gaming channel now has access to the live streaming feature, and we're trying to get featured also in DU Recorder. Anywhere that links are provided, use them if you need to. Do not overclick. Do not hurt your pointer finger. Thank you for your listening. Thank you for your views. Thank you for your ears, even if you only have one. And enjoy the rest of your 2018.